Join us as Pastor Ron Duty discusses the impact of Emmanuel, God with us, and the hope that we have in him.
The name of my sermon this morning, the title of it is Hope. I had a sermon years ago. I entitled it, Do Not Allow Mankind to Limit Your Imagination. Do not allow mankind to limit your imagination. And on that particular Sunday morning that we used this, we were an older group of people, and we had some children, but they were all upstairs. I was cautious, and I made mention as I on Christmas and Easter, we allow the world to limit our imagination. In that, for Christmas, whenever we think about Emmanuel, God with us, we have substituted him with Santa Claus. And then on Easter, for the resurrection and the miracles that God did there, we have substituted that with the Easter bunny. And so my sermon was not necessarily to do harm to Santa Claus, nor was I intentionally trying to kill the Easter bunny. My thing was, is that we serve someone that is far greater than these individuals, that if you choose to allow them to exist, if we serve someone that is far greater than them. And as a result of that sermon that morning, I actually got hate mail because we were on the Facebook and stuff like that. I got hate mail from Georgia, Tennessee, I think out Arizona, a couple sent me a note talking about I should not talk about stuff like that. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to make this quick statement and then allow you to choose, all right? I want you to know, with caution, there is no Santa Claus. And if you want to be here Wednesday night, I'm not going to do it this morning, but if you want to be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I can prove to you that Santa doesn't exist. With caution again, there is no Santa. But there is an Emmanuel. There is an Emmanuel. And I like that song, even though I think we're not ready for it. Come thou long expected Jesus. Has a tremendous message in it where it says, come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. And folks, listen, I want you to know this morning, and you know that as well as I do, with the conditions and the things that we see taking place in the world, that is the only place that you and I will truly find freedom from the things that oppress us today. And the things that oppress us today is this thing called sin. And we find freedom there in this long-expected Emmanuel. Now, whenever we look on down through that, it says freedom. Free thy people from our fears, and sin relieve us. Let us find our rest in thee, Israel's strength and consolation. Hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. I was listening to a program. Can I be honest with you a little bit here? This morning, I have forgot my notes at home, what little bit I'd normally bring. And I actually ran off and left my Bible. So I'm using one of the Bible. So I've got this stuff memorized to a point, but I'm not sure how it's going to come out and where it's going to end, all right? So bear with me. But I was watching his program this past week, and it was talking about this young lady who was caught up in the Islamic faith. And she said that whenever she was young, this is all the things that she had to do in order to please her father. And in the country that she was involved in Iran and the worship there. And she knew that because of all the turmoil that she saw taking place in the world, there had to be something more. She says, this just can't be it. I mean, there has to be more to God than the God that we know. And she said that because of all the turmoil that was taking place in that country, that they were raising these children, and they were getting these children to be about 6 or 7 years old, and they would connect them up to these bombs and then run them into a crowd of people, or they would run these children through bomb landmine field, then allow the soldiers to go in afterward. And they were actually teaching these children or training these children to do these things. And she said that her brother was getting to be about that age, and her father was scared because they were afraid they were going to rush him into that. And if he was to be against it, he could actually have lost his life. And so they ended up moving out of that country and came to America. And she said one day her brother came home full of joy, and she said, you know how we always said there has to be more to God, or there has to be something else other than the God that we serve? He said, well, I found him. And I found that other one. And that other is Jesus. He came to know Christ as his Savior. And she said she was at a really young age, and she came to know Christ through all this. And her parents, of course, was against it and up, you know, angry with her and stuff, and went through all that type of stuff. But she said she got a message from the Lord, and the Lord told her that one day she would speak before the nation of the world. And she was wondering, how could she ever do that, being as young as she was? She speaking to the nations of the world. Well, she was sent as a missionary, her and her husband, that she married, was a pastor. And they went in secretively to Iran, and he was taken prisoner there in Iran, put in jail. And she actually got back into this country. And no, she got back, no, fast forward quite a few years, of course. And now she's back in America, and her husband's in jail in Iran. And he's facing death, stuff like this. And she said that she began to get to meet with the leaders of this country. And then finally she got to meet at the United Nations with the leaders of the world. And she said she had forgotten that message that God had given to her years ago whenever she was a little girl, that one day she was going to speak to the leaders of the nations of the world. And here she was, she said, at the United Nations speaking on behalf of Christianity. She said she had to do one thing and make sure she did only one thing, if anything, even though her husband's life was in danger, was to share Jesus with the nations of the world, because God had told her years before he was going to do that. So he's a hope of all the earth. Thou art dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born the child, and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thine own eternal spirit, rule in all their hearts alone. Well, there's a tremendous message in that song, isn't there? That's Emmanuel, and we know him on a personal level. This morning, I would like to take you to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Beginning at verse 22, and talk about hope. Hope. There's a lot of things that Christmas means. I don't know how you celebrate Christmas. I don't know what you do around Christmas, but I know we all recognize Christmas. Seems like, especially I'm pretty sure everybody in this church does. But look at verse 22, chapter 2. And when the time came for their purification according to the laws of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the laws of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. and to offer sacrifices according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, ready for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. What wouldn't you like to know that to be true? I mean, this is a true message. How would you like to be able to have God give you a message this morning to say to you, look, you are not going to see death until you see the Lord coming in the air? Wouldn't you like to see that and feel it, know it? Listen, I believe, now, again, this is just me, but I believe there's a spirit in the air today. And I think that spirit that's in the air today is God's spirit telling his people, I'm going to do something. And folks, I believe, now this is my own thought, you might be able to prove me wrong there, I get the glory someday, and you're there, but I believe there are some people in this room here will never see death until they see the Lord come. Because I believe that's how close we are to that moment of seeing Jesus. I mean, this is an awesome thing. It's a spirit in the world. There's an evil spirit that's moving in the world, but there is the spirit of joy also. There's a spirit of consolation. God is moving. Now, we studied the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, he said something like this. He said, I'll no longer call you servants and stuff like that. He said, but now I'm going to call you friend. And he said, and the reason I call you friend is because I tell my friends all that I do. And I think God is telling us in our heart and in the soul and in all the events that are taking place in the world around us, as we celebrate this holiday, that he is about to do something and he wants you to know it. Amen. So you see me standing in front of you and my hair is as black as coal. Something wonderful just happened. Amen. We are in heaven with the Lord. Whoa, won't that be a day? Hope. Hope is a great, the joy, hope is the joy of expectation. Amen. In verse 29, he says, now he took up it, verse 28, he said, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentile and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child was appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from thine heart may be revealed. And then, of course, there he was, seeing what God had promised for all those years. It had become a reality. He had was expecting something. So this morning, let's talk about hope. But let's talk about a few other things first. Now, if we look at the scriptures here, this tells us something about Christmas and what Christmas means. One thing that Christmas means is that God takes his creation serious. Amen? God takes his creation seriously. But not only that he takes his creation seriously, but that he loves what he has created. And as a result of knowing that God takes his creation seriously and that God loves what he has created, look at verse 22 again. And when the time came for the purification according to the laws of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male who... And he goes on down to saying, the time has come for God to express that love that he had for his creation. How many of you think of Christmas as love? Christmas is a time whenever God says to you and me, I love you. And he says to the world that is dead in sin, I love you too. He loves all of us. The unique thing about it is that we sometimes, when we get together to worship God, we like to say how much we love God. But it's not how much we love God that matters, even though it's important. But the thing that truly matters is how much God loved us. There's a song out there, it's called How Deep the Father's Love. And some of you probably know that. And down through that song, it talks and expresses the anguish that God went through, how he brought and bruises up on his son in order for you and me to know him in a loving way and to express his love to us. And at the very end of it, that song, it says something like this. It says, why I should benefit from his wounds, I cannot understand. But this I know with all my heart, that his wounds have set me free. And that is true. God, through his miracles and through his actions, expressed through the birth of Jesus Christ that came into the world to die on a cross for you and me, was expressing his love. And because God chose to express his love, it actually brought forth the hope that you and I have in Christ Jesus. How many of you think that this world would really, truly be a dark place if it wasn't for the cross shining in that dark place? How many of us would know that this world is a dark place if it wasn't for each church that is sitting on each corner bearing witness that there is a darkness, but there is a light and there is hope? That hope is in Emmanuel, God with us. We were talking a few minutes ago about the amount of churches that are closing in this country. And I'm telling you, it's a staggering number of churches that are closing their door week after week after week. And there's a staggering number of pastors that are resigning from their positions and just giving up. And what does that tell us? It tells us that as we look into the world, it seems like it's getting darker and darker. But I want you to know still that light still shines brighter and brighter. And that light shines especially at Christmas time. There are so many times you get on TV, and I was listening to a guy the other day, and he was talking why he said, and he said, this is why I will never be a Baptist. How many of you are Baptists this morning? This guy said, this is why I'll never be a Baptist. And he began with something like this, talking about us, how we are paganistic in that we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Easter. And because we do that, those holidays, that it's not biblical, it's not right, those are pagan holidays and we shouldn't be doing that. Now, I don't know, maybe there's some in this room that see that. I do know where Christmas originated. I do know how Easter came about, and I know what it's all about, all right? The thing of it is this, whenever Christmas comes, it gives us a tremendous opportunity to tell people that God is real. Emmanuel has come, and Emmanuel is with us. Even though the world is as dark as it is time to tell God's here. God's here. And the good thing about God being here is he takes someone, no matter whether they're pagan, no matter who they are, no matter where they're at in their life, he can make a difference in their life. And whenever you and I go out there in that world and we confront people, especially on Christmas, it's a time for us to tell them about what Christmas is all about. It's about God. It's about Emmanuel, God coming into the world to bring hope into the world. Simeon looked at this and he says, hope. He felt hope. Now, let's think about this. Like, what do you find hope at? Now, if you think about the leaders of the nation of Israel at this time, you know, that you would think that they would have been looking for this Messiah of theirs. And here it is. He comes into the world, and they don't even know him. And you find that in John. They miss him. But Simeon, he felt hope in something that was very small, a little baby. And now look at this, if you would, the conditions of it. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And they came to offer, according to what is said in the law of Moses, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem. So whenever they came up to offer, the thing that they had to offer were turtle doves and pigeons, meaning that these were poor people. They didn't have anything. They weren't rich like you guys are. One rich like we were. Remember last year we did that. Listen, you don't want to miss Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. All right. Go off on a tangent. Last year I gave you a little quiz on what you know about Christmas. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody flunked. But God's good. He still loves you. Yes. I remember when I first took that test. I said, this is not fair at all. If anybody didn't get that test, if you want it, I'll give it to you on Wednesday if you'll come. You go off to your side and take it and tell us how much you know about Christmas and stuff like that. What the world sees and what God sees and what we see at Christmas is an entirely different thing. God sees a world that is lost. The world sees a Santa Claus, and you and I see hope in what God has done at that particular time of year. God comes into the world. Here it is. But the leaders, they're looking for somebody to rule and reign, and they missed it because he came in something small. Remember that song that we heard so often that says, Mary, did you know? Man, I know we're all familiar with that. Did you know that if you kissed the cheeks of that baby? He was kissing the cheeks of God. Did you know when he held that baby in your arm? He was Emmanuel. It's interesting. And listen here. Here's the unique thing about what we're saying here. Here's the unique thing, and that is that that is history. And somehow we try to cover it up like it's not real. It didn't happen. Folks, listen, it happened. And you cannot deny it. It happened. God came into the world as he promised for over 2,000 years or more. He was coming. And finally, the moment came, and here he was. And Simeon was there waiting, and he found his hope in the Lord. It is like it's something small. There's a lot of things we can find hope in. Find hope in God's word. That's big, though. Find hope in God's people, the church. But to truly find hope, right, you have to find it in Emmanuel, God. That's where true hope is. And here's something else. That presence of God fills this building, this one. He is here. He's alive. Can you feel him? You know him.
So not only does it do that, but notice what he says. It brought hope into his life, but it also, it gave him hope for the future, Simeon. But notice what you said there. Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for a revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So now you're letting your servant depart in peace. Hope for the future. You ever think about, just stop a moment, just for a second. I remember a guy asked me one time in a Sunday school class, where, remember that verse says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything? And it was a song. And the guy, Jim Southwick, asked that question in Sunday school class that morning. He said, listen, I want you to stop. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Don't you all do that. But he said, I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to just think for a moment and truly be honest, not with me nor anybody in this room, but be honest with you. And the thing I want you to be honest with is this. Would you rather have Jesus more than anything, silver and gold? What if they offer you all the gold in the world? Would you rather have Jesus? And boy, I sat there and I tried to be honest with myself. And I thought about all the hope that God had brought into my life, all the things that God had done for me throughout those years, and sitting there in that moment of quietness. I'll never forget that. Is somehow the Spirit came over me and I said in my heart, Lord, I'd rather have you than have all the riches of the world. The world has nothing to offer. If it is, it's just temporary, right? And then be gone. But you and I are eternal. Something that you and I look for. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you truly, honestly, this morning, would love to be ushered into the presence of God? Right at this moment. How many of you truly, in your heart, are prepared for that moment whenever Jesus looks at you and welcomes you home?
Here it is. Simeon says, now, Lord, you're letting your servant depart in peace. I'm ready to go. And the only thing that makes it possible for us to be willing and ready to go into the presence of God. Now, listen, this ain't going to be Jesus with the long hair and Jesus with the beard on his face and stuff like that. It's going to be Jesus of Revelation that you see, that we are taken into his presence. The omnipotent God, the Holy One of Israel, you and I will be one day ushered in his presence, and it could be at any moment. And are you ready? Ready to depart? Ready to go? Be prepared for that moment as fast approaching. The Simeon says, Lord, I'm ready. I'm looking to the future, and I'll stand before you. And listen, as that event became a reality in Simeon's life, what we talk about dealing with the rapture of a church or death or whatever it might be, those things will one day become a reality, and you and I will go and be there in the presence of this omnipotent God. Are you ready to go? What a day that will be when the Lord calls you and me home to be with him. Now, here's another thing as we look into this. You know, we think about the hope that we have, dealing with the hope that comes from this baby and the hope that we have for the future. You and I can only be like Mary and Joseph there, the father and mother. We can only do one thing, that is marvel. Marvel at it. Because I could ask you this morning, how many of you consider yourself to be something that is good? Something that is worthy for a God who is holy to come into the world as a form of a babe, to take upon him all that he did and do all that he did, to die on a cross, and do it for you. Do it for you. I marvel that. I really do. I marvel that God would do something like that for me. And then all the times that I fail him and all the times that you fail him, yet he was willing to do this. Do you know that? I mean, and I know you already know this because you've been in church long enough. Do you know from the very moment that you were born to the very minute that you die and you're ushered into the presence of God, do you know that God knows and that every little thing that you do throughout your whole life, and yet he did it, what he did. Man, that is marvelous and that is amazing to think that he could do that. Well, I'm amazed that Karen likes me because of who I am and the things I do sometimes, but she still likes me. But the thing that truly marvels me is that we have a God who, I look out into the universe. We said this Wednesday night. I look out into the universe and I see a God that made it all, everything. And he's that big to do that. And we don't even really truly know how big it is. We think we do. They always come up with something different every time I listen to someone goes lying. But they think they know how big it is. We don't know how big it is. But yet this God is bigger. Bigger. And he chooses to live in your heart and mine. That is marvelous. And he made it possible by coming into the world. So why should we celebrate December 25th? I know, as well as you do, that December the 25th is not the actual birthday of Jesus. And some of them will argue, even philosophers and theologians will argue that December 25th is Jesus' real birthday. I don't believe this. I mean, they've got a good chance. I mean, let's see, 365 days out of the year, one chance out of all of them. It'd been, I don't know what day he came. But I know this much. I know he came. And I know that he has a kingdom, and he invites anyone and everyone to become a part of it. And I pray this morning that you're part of that kingdom, because by his coming, he has made it possible. Amen.
Yes, son.
Stand with me this morning to close in prayer. Father, this morning, thank you. Thank you for the hope that we have in your son, Jesus. Thank you for the hope that we have as a result of what that baby accomplished. Thank you, Father, for the hope that we have to look to the future and know of all the great things you're going to do. And Father, help us always at Christmas time and at Easter and every day throughout the year to stand in your presence and marvel at the great things that you have done, at the great things that you're doing, and at the great things that you are going to do. And even in our own personal lives, you're going to do some marvelous things. Thank you, Father. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning, as we close the service with this song of invitation, if they have never made a decision to receive that baby, Emmanuel, into their heart, today they would do it and become that person who will marvel at what you can do. Thank you, Father. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.